Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning CUTV News Radio Live, our broadcast series with multiple episodes every day, spotlighting and showcasing and celebrating amazing people from around the world who are doing incredible things to make our world a better place. It's noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific. We're here at the Broadcast Center. And it is Tuesday, November 5th, 2019, Election Day. Hopefully you'll get out and vote in your local communities. We also archive our broadcasts. So though we're live right now, this broadcast will also be recorded and archived. So you can hear it 24/7, 365, and you can share the link with family, friends, colleagues, and associates who might find it of great value. You can also listen to it again later in case you want to sort of hone in on something that we talk about with our special guest, who happens to be in the great city of Boston, Massachusetts. His name is Chuck Muller, and he's with MCG Partners. Now, he is the CEO and co-founder of MCG Partners, which is a leadership and talent organization. It's an optimization firm and an organization that's really dedicated to aligning business and people and the strategy for maximum results, because the reality of today is change is constant. It is ultra constant. And as a result, today's organizations are extremely complex. And the onus of navigating this complexity really falls on the leaders. And the role of the leader and the definition of a leader has changed dramatically, and in a positive way too. As opposed to being up in the ivory tower looking down at everything, a lot of leaders are very engaged and empowering and inspiring, which is really important if you want to get the engagement of your staff and you want them to feel valued and like they're participating in the growth of the company, which of course then they benefit from. So everybody has an opportunity to benefit from the entire scenario. Whether an organization is for profit, not for profit, a startup, family-owned, VC-funded, or on the Fortune 500, it is up to its leaders to create the right vision and culture to support what their organization is hoping to accomplish. And Chuck says, you know, you'd be surprised how many organizations out there, including the best brands of the world, don't always have their talent strategy, the strategy in line with business strategies, which they really should. And it's not just a cultural challenge. It really is an alignment challenge and how we keep people on the same page of where we're going and how do we get there. I mean, these are some of these questions that need to be answered. The dilemma in leadership today, according to Chuck, is whether leaders are spending enough time having those conversations and empowering their people. As I just said, that's so important to do that. The future of leadership looks very different than what has been witnessed over the last 30 years. And, you know, there's multiple generations with different needs and perspectives. And to have that constant and intense pace of change and innovation with a marketplace that is about instant gratification can be tough. So they have a virtual and global workforce, digitalization, and so many channels of information and communication out there. The leaders of today and tomorrow need to be different. They need to be agile. Through executive coaching, leadership development, and talent management solutions, MCG enables leaders and teams and organizations to function at their best by providing foundational tools to encourage greater self-awareness and to develop high-performing leaders, teams, and organizations. That is so important. And Chuck and his team can really help people get to that point and show them the way and inspire them to do for themselves as well through the expertise of he and his team. They're in Boston. Their clients are not just in Boston, nationwide and beyond. And it's a honor and a pleasure to welcome Chuck Mueller, the CEO and co-founder of MCG Partners in Boston, to CU TV News Radio Live. Chuck, thank you very much for joining us here on the broadcast. We welcome you to the show and looking forward to a great conversation today. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Jim. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure, and we really thank you for being a part of our show, especially today on a busy day like Election Day, a lot going on. When you first decided, you know, what your career path was going to be, Chuck, what was it about this kind of work that really spoke to you, that sort of inspired you to move on to really pursue a career in this field?
No, that's a great question. I think for me, and I think a lot of people may be able to relate to the story, I was one of those leaders that got tapped on the shoulder. I was in the middle of a pretty successful career running a global practice. I guess my track record at that point in my career was very good in terms of building businesses, execution, you know, really hitting great results. And my CEO at the time, and this is probably going back 19 years ago, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Chuck, have you ever had a 360 assessment, which essentially is, you know, getting feedback from your people in a confidential, safe manner?" And of course, I looked at him with surprise and said, "No." And sure enough, I ended up having that 360, and I got some very tough feedback. And I say this, you know, quite jokingly, in my maturity was so high back then. Of course, my reaction was, well, you know, hell with all these people. Look at all my great results and my great track record and my expertise and my accomplishments. And, you know, my boss, who was obviously very wise, looked at me and said, "Chuck, I kind of anticipated that reaction. And I understand that it's hard getting tough feedback and see it in writing, but you've got to make a decision. You have a choice in front of you. You'll always be successful. You've demonstrated that you care about people, you're likable, but you really don't understand leadership. You know, you're very good at the management part of your job. You really need to understand the leadership part of your job." And so, "Why don't you go think about it for a couple of days?" And I did. I got over myself and came back a little bit more humble. And so, no, you're right. And I really do need to do that. And so that really kind of put me on this path of really trying to understand what leadership was for me. And that became a very transformational part of my life. And it really helped me not only understand myself better, but understand what really leadership meant for me. And I became real students of leadership. And, you know, fast forward, I ended up becoming a CEO. I ran a global business, got acquired a few times. And then about 12 and a half years ago, I remember turning to my wife and saying in 2007, kind of midway through the year, "I'm really bored. I think I need to do something on my own." And I started thinking about, what am I going to do? What can I do to really make a difference? I knew what kind of business I wanted to have, as you've already described. But what am I going to do in this business? And I started looking into where I thought I could make a difference. And executive coaching seemed to be, you know, the real role for me that would make the most sense. So that's kind of how that whole story happened.
That's incredible. What a great story that is. And I mean, all these years, for over 30 years, you've advised, coached, consulted executives and organizations across so many different industries that we mentioned, startups to the Fortune 500, the not-for-profit. One of the things I know you do is determine if leadership and culture are aligned to their business strategy, and then you sort of develop and implement the solutions to drive and attain results. Let's talk about how you go about doing that. And when MCG Partners, because you're a co-founder, when you teamed up, you know, with the others and said, "Let's create this partnership and this company," what was it about MCG Partners there in Boston that you wanted to deliver and offer that perhaps maybe wasn't happening elsewhere, or provides a unique delivery and a transactional process for your clients that is different, unique, and maybe stands out?
No, that's you know, that's always really the big question, I think, for anybody in professional services, right? Why you? Why us? You know, coaching is not new. It's been around for quite some time. It's really changed over the last 5+ years. But even 12 and a half years ago, you know, it was a question of, you know, why us, why myself? And, you know, we have a great team here. We've got over 20 executive coaches and leadership developers and consultants that really are dedicated to developing leaders and leadership teams, as well as helping from a talent management strategy standpoint. As you mentioned earlier, how do you align your business strategy with your talent strategy? I mean, I think one of the challenges of coaching today, very specifically, is that very often it's done in sort of isolation. Yes, it's about developing that individual leader, but what's the context of how that's going to help that leader be successful as a leader, but also in helping the business, the organization, strategically, tactically, and from an enterprise standpoint. So I think one of our real unique capabilities is how we really spend a lot of time focused on that and really working with the sponsors of a coaching program as well as a leadership development program to really make sure those things are aligned.
See, that's great. I mean, that's exactly what I think a lot of people are looking for, and they don't even realize that they need this, because it's interesting what I had mentioned in the beginning about change being constant, if not ultra constant. Change is constant, and businesses and organizations, you know, they're just really focusing on what they can control, which is right now, the moment, today. Tomorrow might not look like today, which often is the case due to just so many things and so many different variables. What do you feel the leader of tomorrow looks like, and how is that leader different than today and yesterday?
I really think we are at a pivotal time for leaders. I really do. I mean, we talk about sort of phases of industrial revolution and technology revolutions and how we as industries will evolve and change. And clearly social media and the internet has had a dramatic impact, not only us all personally, but also professionally in the businesses that obviously support and drive consumers and organizations. But I also think that we're really at that crossroad for leadership. I mean, you think about, and I'll give you a couple of statistics, you know, since 2000 up to about last year, 52% of the Fortune 500 don't exist. They've either been swallowed up or they're gone. We're actually anticipating, research is anticipating that cycle will actually increase in half. In other words, in 10 years from now, half of the current Fortune 500 won't be here. When you think about the rate of success or failure, if you want to look at it that way, in terms of startups or family-owned businesses or VC-funded companies, the failure rate continues to increase significantly. And, you know, that's a challenge. You know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, we live in a world where it's about instant gratification. You know, people want immediate access, immediate information. They want, you know, they want that new next product, that next service, that next kind of hot trend. Those cycles are shortening. And so the need for being innovative, the need for, as you mentioned earlier, this whole constant change, this intensity of change that we live in today as individuals, but also as professionals and as businesses, is really at an incredible level. And there's no sign that's going to slow down. You know, organizations today are more global than ever. You could be a small business working out of your kitchen, and you can have a customer anywhere in the world today. So the world, the landscape of the world has changed dramatically. Therefore, leaders have to change dramatically. You know, we have multi-generations, more than we've ever had classified before. They have different needs, different perspectives, different values, different focuses on what life balance is for them. So, yes, yeah, so the implications here is that, you know, leadership is more complex than ever. It's more challenging than ever to meet the needs and motivations of your employees. When you look at all the research in the last 30 years in terms of what's an engaged workforce, and again, the correlation is the more engaged your workforce is, the more profitability, the greater profitability you as a business are going to have. And leadership effectiveness is still, and it hasn't changed over 20 years, Jim, the number one driver of employee engagement. And meeting in terms of your morale, your retention, your performance, your productivity, your overall business and organizational success. So what really means is that, and we spend probably about almost 2 years really researching this question, what does the future of leadership look like? And I kind of highlighted, obviously, some of the key factors to this. And we really started looking at a methodology that's been around for 20 years that kind of came out of software development around agile teams and agile organizations and agile transformation. It's really about how do you accelerate the next generation of software development. What that's really now evolved to is how do you create agile leaders? And so it's not about the agile technology or the agile methodology. We've just coined it the agile leader because it is about how leaders need to be, you know, more flexible, more innovative, more engaged, how they empower, how more inclusive they are, how collaborative they're going to be. It's really about being decisive, being able to pivot, being able to delegate decision-making authority. So it's a variety of things that are going to be very, very different than what we've seen over the last 20, 30 years.
So, yeah, I guess you mentioned the time that we're in right now. There's so much shift, so much change societally and the way we conduct business and the way we're approaching things and technology advancements and all of these coming into play. And like you say, like the role and development of the leader is crucial always, but it's really evolving and changing swiftly as we speak. Your epiphany around leadership, mention a little bit about, you know, when you started to see what it was really like and incorporate and integrate it into how you go about your business as well as a leader. Let's talk about some of even your own ways that you empower and inspire your team as a leader there at MCG Partners.
Yes, it's something that you have to practice what you preach. And, you know, we as a firm are no different than any other firm. We've gone through our changes over the last several years as we continue to grow and evolve, as we think about how do we continue to offer world-class services to, you know, businesses and organizations and leadership teams in the marketplace. And internally, we have to do the same thing. And there's a variety of things I think that not only we, but leaders have to do. You know, one, you have to really understand who your people are. Do you understand what motivates and drives them? Do you understand what gets them excited to start their day? Do you understand what keeps them awake at night? Are you leveraging their strengths as far as their roles and responsibilities? Are you creating an environment that, when you think about this level of intense change, you know, people today need stability. They need safety. You know, there's some great concepts around there, like around psychological safety and intellectual humility to allow people to be comfortable challenging the status quo. I mean, think about it. You can't create innovation and drive innovation and challenge the status quo if people don't feel they're safe to do that without getting shot down. And I don't care who you are, what your profession needs to be. So you've got to practice what you preach. You've got to demonstrate those values. You've got to demonstrate those characteristics, and you've got to create an environment that allows people to thrive.
That's right, exactly. That's well said. Allow people to thrive through this environment that's created. You know, many hearing the conversation might even be asking the question of themselves, Chuck, as a leader, what do I need to do to get to the next level, even in my own career?
Yeah, and that there's so many variables into that, right? Depending on who you are as a person, you know, most people when they get to leadership, right, and this hasn't changed, you've been able to demonstrate you've got some really strong level of expertise. You're able to get results and execute. You've demonstrated probably being the best at what you do in your particular field, right? And as we all know, it hasn't changed. You know, all of a sudden someone picks you out of that and says, okay, you know, welcome to management. You're now going to start supervising and managing people. And, you know, a lot of people then will immerse themselves in learning, understanding management, will progress. And for everybody, it really is about how do I get to that next level? So where you're trying to become a director, a VP, an SVP, an EVP, a C-level executive, I really think it's about a leadership shift. And, you know, it's really difficult because we're talking about very smart, very successful people. It's really, really hard when all of a sudden you have to think about, I need to do something differently. you know, what's gotten me sort of where I am today, I have to evolve that. I have to continue to develop myself. And that's really, really critical. You know, what is that formula for success going to look like for that individual, depending on who they are, their makeup, you know, their blind spots or things that get into trouble. But I think the leadership shift really, there's probably a number of things, Jim, that I would probably highlight in that. A lot of it's where you spend your time. You know, depending on what level you're moving up to or wanting to move up to, there's a shift that occurs. You're spending your time differently. For most leaders, as they move up in their leadership ladder, you're spending less time in the day-to-day and the tactical aspect of your business, and you have to be spending more time strategically. You need time to be thinking strategically and be thinking about the future of your organization, your business, your area of responsibility, whether it's externally focused or internally focused. You have to be more externally focused. You have to be thinking about what is the competition, what are best practices, what are the trends, you know, how am I going to think about what the future is going to look like for my organization, for my team. You've got to learn how to delegate more. You know, leaders really struggle with letting go. And you have to let go of the day-to-day. You're not going to be involved in everything. You're not going to know everything anymore, right? You're going to have to start trusting your people and not being involved in those day-to-day decisions. And you have to stop being a bottleneck. You know, a lot of leaders are used to not only being involved, but having their people always running to them for decisions. You become a bottleneck. And not only that, when you think about this whole concept of empowerment, your people are not going to be equipped to making decisions on their own if they're constantly coming to you to have approval or make decisions. And you have to be developing the next generation of leaders, the next generation of talent in your organization. So those are kind of highlight some, I think, some of the key ones, but there's a real shift that occurs as you're moving up in your career as a leader.
Absolutely, too. And again, the shift, you want it to be in a positive direction. From your expertise and your research, and you're on the front lines, you know, working with people, and you're hearing about their hopes, dreams, desires, frustrations within companies, large and small, what are you finding to be the most critical needs, Chuck, for leaders in order to be more effective in this ever-changing environment we're in now? You've outlined some of them, but tell us more about some of the real critical ones that they really should pay attention to.
Yeah, in addition to what we've just sort of discussed, let me share with you a study, and this I think would surprise a lot of people. It was a study last year of public companies, about 490 firms, and what they found was that the firms with strong financial performance have employees with higher levels of self-awareness more than poor-performing companies. So in other words, that your level of self-awareness is still the number one indicator of performance, not only individual performance, but also organizational financial performance. And without getting into all how the research is able to quantify and qualify that, there have been other studies in the last 20 years that actually have also indicated that. So going to that question, you know, how self-aware are you? And, you know, and there's many ways you can actually help really enhance that. One are using tools like a behavioral assessment. We happen to use one called PI or PI Behavioral Assessment or Predicted Index. Doing a 360 where you're getting feedback from other people, as I mentioned earlier, my own career and how transformational that was for me. And it was very hard. And it's hard getting feedback. No one loves it. I don't know. Have you ever loved getting feedback, Jim? I know I don't like it. Probably to this day, and it can be difficult.
Right, exactly.
Right, and so I think, and the value of that 360 is how do you see yourself versus how others see you? You know, is there alignment there? Are there real big differences in terms of how you see yourself versus others? And then what are the things that you really need to work on? You know, how to learn how to ask for input and feedback in terms of what is success going to look like for you as a leader, especially the areas that really get you into trouble. I mean, you know, development of yourself as a leader in terms of today's environment, it's not about a laundry list. You know, it's really about picking the top one or two things that are going to really have the biggest impact in your success as a leader. And we all have that, right? I mean, if someone asks a question, is there something that we need to develop? And I don't care where you are in your career and how long you've been working. And the answer is always yes. We always have something that's going to be needed for our development. So the key is focus on the one or two things that can make the biggest difference, going to have the biggest impact, and have people that you work with that feel comfortable, and you create an environment, going back to safety and where people feel very comfortable giving you very direct feedback. But you've got to create that environment. Just asking for it is not enough. Having mentorship, having advocacy, being able to really have healthy conflict. I would say to you, what still amazes me, especially the last 10 years, leaders and leadership teams and just teams overall, they really struggle today with conflict. Some of it has to do people feel that I'm working in a safe enough environment, that I'm not going to get, there's no retaliation if I give tough feedback and that person doesn't like it. But some of it's also based on that person's personality and style and their own sort of fear of an uncomfort level of being able to do that. So there's a real sort of issue today, I think, in organizational cultures where there's a real fear of dealing sort of the gorilla and the elephants in the room and really being able to have healthy conflict. Because you can have healthy conflict versus unhealthy conflict, where, again, you agree, let's get on the table. So leaders today really need to create an environment where where people feel comfortable challenging the status quo, where they question what are we doing, or let's try to do something else. And there's also acceptance of failure and mistakes. You cannot be innovative. I don't care if it's new products and services or actually being more innovative operationally or tactically. You could do that internally versus externally as well. You cannot create an environment of innovation if there is a fear of failure making a mistake. They go hand in hand. You have to allow an acceptable level of failure and mistake. There has to be a focus on experimentation, doing things differently in order for innovation to occur. So those are really, really
critical. Absolutely.
And I would also say that we talked about the intensity of change, constant change. Communication today is so critical. Leaders have to be constantly communicating. Where are we? Where we're going? How are we going to get there? They'd be constantly getting feedback and input from their people. So the communication piece is so critical today, and that kind of infers this whole notion of alignment. How are you making sure that people are on the same page, what expectations are, what successes? Like, think about it. The goals and objectives that you set at the beginning of the year, sort of the traditional way of how we all ran organizations historically, that doesn't work anymore. 3 months into the year, into your fiscal year, your organization and your dynamics of what's happening in the market and your domain have changed dramatically. Most likely your goals and objectives have to change as well. So staying alignment on expectations, goals, and objectives as the world's constantly changing, because those goals and objectives are going to be constantly changing. I can keep on going, but those are some really, really important things. And the whole notion of facilitating dialogue, asking questions, leaders today, it takes longer, right? And so that's the challenge. Leaders are so busy, they don't have time to think. They don't have time. They don't create time to think and reflect, not only for self-development, but to be strategic. They need to stop and pause and ask more questions. And really a miraculous thing happens, Jim, when you as a leader start facilitating dialogue versus telling people what to do versus not what to do. When you're telling them or giving the answer, directing them, for example, you own that decision. They don't own it. When you ask questions, your people maintain ownership of that decision, that thought, that direction, that insight. And so facilitating dialogue, to me, is becoming one of the most critical skills for leaders right now and moving forward.
That's really important. Chuck, if people want to make contact with MCG Partners, what's the best way to really go about doing that?
Yeah, you can reach us a number of ways. We have our main number, which is 508-279-0400. People can reach any of us through our main office number. If people want to email me directly, that's obviously very willing to take anyone's inquiries. It's Chuck, C-H-U-C-K dot Moeller, that's M-O-L-L-O-R, at M C ecgpartners.com.
Perfect. Chuck, this was really, really terrific. Thanks for sharing all this information with us. We really, really appreciate it. I can't believe the whole half hour is gone already. You get into a really good, solid conversation. Right, the cranberries, that's right.
Cranberries,
because your family is involved in that industry there in eastern Massachusetts, which is wonderful. And good stuff. Hopefully we'll get a chance to chat more, because I had a million more questions for you, and it would be terrific to sort of break it down and maybe hear some success stories, things of that nature. But it was really a pleasure having you with us on this episode of CUTV News Radio Live, Chuck, and hopefully we'll get a chance to chat again. Great show, and thanks for being with us on the show today.
Oh, thanks, Jim. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to our next conversation.
I do as well. You take care now and keep up the great work. Again, CEO and co-founder of MCG Partners. And again, if you would like to connect, you can certainly do that. You can go to their website, www.mcgpartners.com. Based in Boston, clients all over the country and beyond, and they can certainly help. If you have any questions, feel free. They're very approachable. Even if you're just exploring ideas and want to bounce some ideas off Chuck and the team, they are there. They're responsive, dedicated, and they've been doing this for a long time. Great track record of success. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Until next time, thank you for being with us here on CUTV News Radio Live as well. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned. More great episodes of the award-winning CUTV News Radio Live coming up in just a moment and throughout the day. Till then, for all of us here, have a great day. Take care and bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.